from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who hasn't said this in a while. It's time for me to be pillowing you softly with my words. Pillowing you softly, just like an Uji or something. Like a hill of comfortable Laurens. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. Sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.
Also want to thank Carl W. who edited this episode, Chris Posty Posterson who did the theme music, Jonathan Mann is on our lullabies, Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. Thank you so much, listeners. Also want to thank moderators of our listener Facebook group over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, Summer and Sarah, Julian, Jennifer, Stacy, Lauren, Keith, and that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep with you with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, stuff on your mind, making stuffing, too much stuffing. You know, if you're stuffing stuff, like you've been stuffing stuff all day, whatever it is that's keeping you, whoa boy, that was loud. Whatever it is that's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that. What I'm going to do is try to create a safe place that's stuffed, but not overstuffed, puffed for sure. Speaking of puff, maybe we could talk about Puff Plus in a minute, because when I was thinking about tissues when I started talking about stuffing stuff, it can, like, I don't know if you like, because we put a garbage can full of tissues, it kind of looks like if they weren't used tissues, you'd say that looks kind of comfortable, but the price, anyway. So if you're new, I'm going to try to keep you company, take your mind off stuff while you fall asleep. A couple things about the show structure.
we start off with like around 6 minutes of business. That's to keep the show free. Thanks for your patience. Then we have an intro, which we've just begun. Usually they're around 12 minutes or so. And like where I'll ramble on and take some turns and stuff like that. And twists and confusing to where I'll be confused by the twists and turns. You'll say, well, it doesn't. What am I confused about? Oh, the intro. So it's a 12-minute intro. Some people skip it. The timestamps are in the show notes if you want to get right to the story. But a lot of people use it either to wind down or to fall asleep to. Or you say, well, every intro is a little bit familiar, but a little bit different. We know Scoots is going to try to explain the podcast, and he's going to come close to capturing the essence of it, but mostly he'll get distracted by stuff like tissues. And so that's the intro. Then we'll have a story for about 45 minutes and about 5 minutes of thank yous at the end. So it's a structure, and I'll be here the whole time. So that's the other thing. You have to worry about falling asleep. I'm going to be here to keep you company. You drift off when you need to, or when you want to, or if I put you at ease, or if you just woke up, I'm here to help. If you can't sleep, I'll be here the whole time, giving it my all to keep you company, to be your boyfriend. That's when I say I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm sending it right to you. Because I've been there, lying in the deep, dark night, waiting to be on the receiving end to say, hey, yeah, well, it's all right. I've been there, too. I know what it feels like. And this is how I'd like to help. By going from something serious to talking about tissues eventually. But yeah, I'm here to keep you company. No pressure to fall asleep. Also, no pressure to listen. I'm your boyfriend. And our friendship is so good that I can talk and you can kind of just say, okay. I wonder what he's going to talk about these tissues. Why don't you get to that, Scoots? Okay, I'm going to talk about the modern age of tissues. And at some point in the last 20 years, they figured out a way to put lotion into tissues or onto it. And I don't know anything about the technology. Maybe that's, has 99% Invisible done anything about tissues? I got to look into that. Every time, I think of something I say, oh, there's great, Dead Letter Office, great episode of 99, like you say, oh, there's a great 99% Invisible episode about that. So that's something I was thinking of, was tissues. I don't know, I got right off the topic. Okay, so I was thinking about tissues in a trash can, and let's just put aside, let's just pretend for some reason we're a billionaire, and we're crumbling up tissues. Especially so I'm a person, and I've talked about this on the podcast, my nose started running in first grade, and it didn't stop until I think, it doesn't run all the time now, but it literally when I was in grammar school and even in high school, my nose was running most of the time. And if only I knew, I should just start being born. I think my nose stopped running when I started the podcast. But so my nose was running a lot. And back then in the 80s, tissues were like sandpaper, especially if you had tissues at school, usually I just used a TP. From my house, and we had six kids, so it's not like we had freaking Quilted Northern or whatever the heck these billionaires are using. But I would go through a lot of tissues because my nose was always running, so my nose would always be kind of chapped and red. And I don't know if anybody else has this thing called self-conscious. But nowadays they put this lotion and again, I think there are, and I'm not even being facetious, I think there's a couple tissue barons, and that's it. But the store brands have them. I don't know who makes those tissues for the store brands. But even nowadays, the store brand usually has lotion. I don't know if Trader Joe's does. I don't buy I prefer a tissue with lotion. And I have bought tissues at Trader Joe's, but then I said, well, these don't have lotion, so I'll just use these for, general sneezing. Or for politeness, you have tissue. You say, hey, you need a tissue? I got some tissues in the car here. Or I got a tissue right here. Has anyone invented, like, did Batman have tissues on a utility belt? I mean, I know they have those little pocket packs of tissues. Those I could never manage to get out without just ripping the whole bag open. But one of those square boxes, it'd be hard, but, you know, some sort of easy way to distribute tissues from a utility belt, like, or a belt clip. Our tissue box comes with a belt clip. Any tissue barons, what do you think about adding belt clips to your tissue boxes? Because holy cow, that would be great. What the world needs now is more tissues. How about that for a marketing campaign? I mean, we're all crying, believe me. But the offer of a tissue, say, hey, here's a tissue, dry your ears, wipe your nose. This one has lotion in it. And some have aloe or the vitamin E. I don't know what those do. But I mean, you do get it, like when your nose gets red, you say, this stinks. And the tissues, I don't know if it's a marketing thing. Maybe I'm just a fool. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if I was getting paid, you could call me a tissue shill. And there are hankies now, so I respect everybody says, well, just use a handkerchief or a hanky. And like I say, okay, well, like this is, let's, we're talking tissues right now. Cause I was picturing a bunch of puffy tissues and, imagining a world, like if I worked for Scrooge McDuck and Scrooge was out of town, I'd say, well, let me get some of those lotion tissues, fill a pillow up with tissues. How come there's a thing, you got people that have a down allergy. What about tissue pillows, hotels? Think about that. But I don't know. I guess I'm a late adopter. It did take me a while to say, how much for those tissues? No, I don't care. Puff plus, no, it's not a plus to me. But eventually, I think once the patent ran out or whatever, when you could get the generic version, I feel like the price, or maybe all tissues, most tissues have lotion or some sort of thing. It is a bit mysterious because you say, well, this tissue's paper, how to get lotiony all over? And I'm sure I don't want to know the science behind it. Because they'd say, well, that's polystyrene PCB47G. Not proven to be totally harmful, but generally assumed. It does have a half-life. Also shouldn't be exposed to air, but it does allow us to get the whole tissue covered in a lotion, polystyrene XBQ 4774ZQ. And that was in, whatever freaking allocation bill 47 BCCC 51. But it is nice. I mean, when you have a cold, you're not feeling so hot. And I didn't really discover the power of Benadryl until as an adult. I don't know when the last time I heard NPR during the flu season was, but that's what I heard like a couple of years ago on NPR. They said, this one doctor said, and maybe it was not a flu, so again, don't take any medical advice from me. But if I could give my own interpretation, they said, take a hot bath, drink a lot of liquids, take some Benadryl, and get some puffy, get some tissues that have some lotion, and take it easy. And I think that's great advice. This podcast is a bit like that, just take it easy. And I guess I try to be the lotion. Like a holistic lotion, if you've been rubbed raw by bedtime, I'd like to make it plus, I'd like to plus your bedtime, just a tiny bit. I'll give you a little vitamin B for bore and help you fall off to dreamland, hopefully. Now, if you're new, if you're skeptical, bravo, why wouldn't you be? It's totally, this podcast is not within the normal range of, even abnormal C. So I appreciate you trying it. Give it a few tries. That's what most of the listeners say. It took a few tries till I said, well, this doesn't make any sense. I finally realized that. But I hope I can help you get distracted enough. You say, man, let's put you like, go ahead, rub your, if you have a tissue at the ready, go ahead and feel it. Feel it in your fingertips. Rub it on your inner arm or something. Maybe give your back a little rub, like with one of those tissues, and you know, maybe I could maybe I could be tissue complimentary. Because I really hope and I really yearn, I really want to help you fall asleep. Thanks for coming by. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Owen.
Hey, everybody. We're going to be talking about Tale of the Tape tonight, another holiday Tale of the Tape in our holiday movie Tale of the Tape series. And I don't know if this is a movie, well, I guess I don't know, because I barely pay attention most of the time. You know, I'm too caught up, I'm locked into my own world, and I have the blinders on, and I'm locked in my own world. But this was a movie I actually have seen in the movie theater, probably, at least once, maybe twice or three times, and, where it comes back out again. But it's a movie I really don't remember too much about it, other than it stars one of my favorite actors. And it probably has one of my favorite comedic actresses, who I've talked about on the show before. And other than that, I probably forgot everything else. But somebody, multi-genre talent, I'm trying to think of the other people in the movie. And it's a movie starring Bill Murray called Scrooged, and it took place in the 80s, once upon a time. Okay, now I'm remembering why I couldn't remember one of the characters. And it's, of course, a retelling of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And it was always, I think there was a couple of creative moments. I think, I don't know what, when it came out in the 80s, maybe the 90s, maybe it came out in 90, 91, but I'm not sure about that. And it may have come out the same year as National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, but I'm not positive about that either. But that would be a banner year for holiday films. And I don't know, I guess just last couple of years, there's been some comedies, holiday comedies. So I guess Deck the Halls, that's pretty good news. But Scrooged is the tale of Bill Murray. Let's see. I'm trying to remember there's one scene that I never forget. And then there's everything else I'm going to try to remember. And we say, Scoots, how is this the only scene you remember? And you say, well, this is the kind of humor I liked. At some point we meet Bill Murray, who's going to be our main character, our Ebenezer Scrooge. And I'm not sure of his name yet. Maybe I'll remember it, but probably not. And this might be a movie to check out and see how it has aged, if it's aged like a fine wine or not. I want to say Bill Pullman. Not Ron Perlman, though, Buster Poindexter and Ron Perlman, I don't know, they kind of remind me of each other a little bit. And so, okay, so what happens in this movie? Okay, so it starts out, we meet Bill Murray, who's going to be Ebenezer Scrooge. And I think the poster art said Scrooged. I want to say someone's smoking a cigar. And it's like being lit by, I don't know, I can't, like I'm picturing someone smoking something and Bill Murray, and then another head that shows like one of the, friends, the holiday friends, holiday, I don't know what we call them, the GHO, the bus, I'll figure it out.
And I guess I'm not surprised, like, because this has been told, the tale as old as time. Let's run through some other Scrooge movies while my brain hopefully remembers some stuff. Who was the person that played Patton? That's my brother's favorite, Ebenezer Scrooge. And I don't know who that is. Then you had the motion capture Jim Carrey one. I haven't seen that one, but I'm sure it's great. We have Mickey's Christmas Carol that stars Mickey Mouse. I think, I'm not sure who's Scrooge in that. Is Scrooge McDuck Ebenezer Scrooge, or is that too on the nose? Is it Donald? I don't know. Donald doesn't speak in sentences. So I guess it was like Mickey working for Ebenezer. Was that Scrooge McDuck's first appearance? Scrooge McDuck is played by Ebenezer Scrooge. So we had that one. There's probably, I don't know, like, have you checked out, does Beta Maximus still exist? Or I'm sure on YouTube, and I share this every holiday season. Before I started the podcast, I think someone came out with this like web app or this website called Beta Maximus, which was kind of like a fun way to consume YouTube videos from the 80s of holiday specials and commercials. I guess now that'd be something to look for on my YouTube and Instagram or something, but because it's basically like I think like the, most of the things are like that I look at on Instagram are like I don't know, not important. But so who else do we have? We have who's that? C. Robert Riley? No, he played Patton, and he's got it like he's a very powerful. I think there's got to be a couple more. Patrick Stewart. Did Patrick Stewart play? I can't see Patrick Stewart as Ebenezer Scrooge, but I also can't not see it. I want to say that's probably like a 90% chance. I mean, I don't see him as Bob Cratchit. I would love, I guess that's what I'll be watching this holiday season, either in my brain or as, or maybe Patrick, I don't think Patrick Stewart was in, that would be a good character. That's another good guess, is looking into the Scrooge movie. But I think it's a guy from Paper Chase, maybe, or E.F. Hutton. That's, okay, so, okay, where was I? Oh, other movies about, what's it called? Christmas Carol. Well, I remember the, yeah. I don't know, did Bugs Bunny, I'm sure Bugs Bunny did a version with Daffy Duck would be a perfect Scrooge, so that's one. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that some other, like that probably on a sitcom, that would be perfect, because it's a very, like, it's almost an archetypal story, and I wonder if there was any, like, if it stems from any, like, if Charles Dickens was inspired by any of anything before that. And if you make it to the Dickens Fair here in the Bay Area, I don't know if I'll make it this year, and this is getting recorded ahead of time, but they do, like, a Streetmosphere performance in different locations of A Christmas Carol. I don't know if it was last year or the year before, I was with my daughter, and we followed Scrooge after he had awoken, and he was going, and he was kind of making amends and thanking people and greeting people. He was going into shops, and I think Bob Cratchit saw us, and then Ebenezer came up and talked to us. We said, yeah, we're just following you around. You're so full of Christmas cheer. We can't help it. It's infectious. And he shook my hand and said hello to my daughter. It was very invigorating. So it's another performance. There's probably a lot of plays. I know here in the Bay Area, the ACT Theater puts on a performance of A Christmas Carol. And let's see, what else? What other things am I trying to remember? I don't know, my mind went blank. There's probably other reimaginings of it, too. But, like, right when the pressure comes down, my brain says, I'm suddenly forgetful, usually verbose, but I'm going to be short on the details, Scoots. But this one goes, and I guess this was, like, the 90s, so this was, like, cable television, and it was a ripe for parody or satire. I don't know which one this was. But so Bill Murray was a big TV executive at a cable network, I'm presuming. And the first scene I remember, like, that just strikes me is this scene that, I, like, was my favorite in the movie, which is, like, Bill very excited about showing the spring or the next year's TV slate or the holiday TV slate to the other executives at the network or the advertisers or somebody. And they run this trailer of, like, I think actually maybe it's a trailer for Scrooge. And it just, like, shows, like, it's very gritty. And it kind of shows, like, geez, like, people are down. People, like, it makes it into this epic. Yeah, but it shows, like our current times, which, like, when they made this, it was very much like it is now, the zeitgeist, the feeling. So it kind of talks about people on edge, something, 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 Scrooge. And they also, I think they ran some trailers for some other shows that were really wild, too. Like, at least that's my memory. Like, I was like, holy cow, that sound. But maybe that was during the movie. But you could see it was a very dark vision. And everyone, of course, Bill Murray is, like, very happy. Or maybe, and no one else is. And Bill Murray has this, like, extremely proficient, is that the right word? He's a assistant that he works with, and she's like literally holding his whole life together, and she cares for him deeply, and he takes her completely for granted. But I don't know, is she the Bob Cratchit? I don't think she is. I didn't think about that. Who's the Cratchit? Maybe we get multi Cratchits in this movie, because I think his assistant, she's kind of like working with him, trying to get time off. I think she has a husband and a son at home. And, you know, she's working very hard to give them the best life she can. And so she's kind of stuck with Bill Murray, but she still cares for him. And so anyway, they do this screening of the trailer for Scrooged, and then everybody's like, what the heck, dude? Like, that looks... Like, I thought it was going to be, like, maybe it's the owner of the network, like Ted Turner or somebody. I don't know, like that type character. And like, what are you doing with my network? And then they kind of show that it's going to be, like, simulcast, like, around the world. It's this huge production, you know, live. I don't even know, like famous Olympians are in it, and famous people I forgot everyone. And like, I think probably Scrooge is probably played by with someone with some serious gravitas, but I don't know who. Like, I think the dude from the Paper Chase, whose name I forget, maybe that's who's narrating it. I don't know. You know, I think they have the Rockettes. And some famous choruses, you know, choruses from Vienna Chorus, Harlem Gospel Choir. Like, I don't even know. Like, they just have, like, all these musical groups. And so it's a really hyped up thing. And they're like, geez, this production's got to go perfect. And then it slowly builds to, like, Ebb. What's his name? Ebenezer. So it's definitely not that. And it's not like not Nezer, Nazar, Abby, Ed. I don't think it's Ed. And not a lot of main characters in movies named Ed that I can think of. You know, Mr. Ed had his own show. But so whatever. They're like, dude, you're putting all this money into it, like a high budget, high production value, high concept. Don't mess it up. And he's like trying to make this must-see TV. This was before there was must-see TV, and that was comedy. And so also you see that he is very, like Bill Murray's character is very selfish and self-centered and not like he doesn't care. He says, this is my vision. Get it done. I don't care about anybody's feelings or the potential consequences. I'm the visionary. And that's basically it. Now I'm getting a Riptorn signal right into my brain. Riptorn, R-I-P-T-O-R-N, famous actor, well-known, beloved actor. And right now I'm seeing Riptorn in some sort of golf outfit. And again, I'm not positive about this, but I'm pretty sure. So who's that? Jacob Marley. So at some point in the story, you know, Ebenezer makes everybody work late, is grouchy. This is still like the 23rd or something, like December 23rd. And then he gets a warning from Jacob Marley. And so in this case, it's Rip Torn, I think, is a golfer who's moved on to the big golf course in the sky. And I don't know why I picture it. I just picture him in like a golf sweater with a diamond pattern, pink pants, maybe on a golf cart, maybe golf balls like falling out of his pockets and stuff, and probably a golf cap. But this could be from another movie like Beetlejuice or something, but I just saw that, so it might not be. But basically, Rip Torn says, dude, like, first he says, what am I? I'm stressed, right? Or I drank too much. And he says, don't worry about it, buddy. And, you know, Rip Torn really is a great comedic actor, especially in these kind of like a bossy rich guy that's changed. And this is kind of says, you don't know, we're going after the wrong stuff and working too hard. And he says, you got to remember the finer things in life. And quit messing around and don't do, you know, get your act together. And I think they're in his office. And again, for a kid, like from Syracuse, New York, this also played on this idea of New York City is the center. I'm assuming that's where it took place. Could have been in Chicago. It's either in New York or Chicago because it was in an urban center.
Is this like, you know, this glamorous life with this beautiful office and a bar and all this stuff, or his beautiful apartment? I don't know which one was which. But basically, Rip Torn shows up to say, hey, like, you got to change your ways or you're going to be sorry. And I think that, I guess that's like Jacob Marley was much more, less funny, I guess, even in the remakes, Jacob Marley's more like, or maybe not, maybe in the real story, Jacob Marley's hilarious. I don't remember. He almost said C. Everett Koop, for the one star from The Patent, but I'll think of their name. Oh, I almost had it again. George R. Martin, no, but I think George C. Shaw, no. It's definitely George something. I know it's not George Plimpton. George C. Riley. That's what I said the first time. That's the closest. George C. Scott. I think that's the name of my brother's favorite Scrooge. So there you go. Trivia question. And you want to put, like, you want to see someone in good mutton chops, you know, go look up a George C. Scott in mutton chops. Maybe I'm wrong, but, Bill Murray looks normal. He's just playing, like, but so, okay, so he's talking to Rip Torn. Rip Torn says, get your act together, man. Like, take it or leave it. I'm going to go off to the Hawaii in the sky or the back nine. And Bill Murray does not take it seriously. And we kind of see probably some more scenes. I'm just assuming this of excess and, at some point, like in here, either post-Rip Torn or pre-Rip Torn, he has I don't know if he has a girlfriend or someone he's dating, but I think he does. There's someone that loved him once. I think someone that loved him once, that maybe comes, is Amy Brennerman in this movie? I don't know. That would be a joy to remember. I want to say Andie MacDowell, but she would have been she was in Groundhog's Day. Oh, I'll think of who it is. I'll think of it. She was in Indiana Jones. That's who his love interest is. But at this point, I don't think they know each other or they've fallen out of touch. Or maybe she comes and says, hey, could you loan some money? I work at this homeless shelter. I'm like,
into doing stuff for other people. I want to say she works at a very community-based direct service organization from some of the what I'm remembering, but I'm not positive about that. But anyway, he says, hit the road. Then his brother comes. His brother may be played by Bill Pullman, or there's another actor that, like, reminds me a lot of Karen. It'll come to me. Don't worry, Karen. I know you're not worried, but that's the lead actress. And then either Bill Pullman or another actor that remind, when you say, well, that person reminds me of Bill Pullman, when it's in Scoots' mixed up brain. But maybe it's either his brother or his nephew. He says, hey, like he plays whoever, like I guess his nephew or his brother, like in the Christmas Carol. He says, hey, I'd love to have you with the family this year, you know, with our holiday cheer. And he says, no, 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 no. I got those Scrooge Live, man. Like, there's no one taking any holiday time off. And I'm not taking any time. And he goes, plus, I don't need any. He goes, are you still? And I think his brother says, hey, listen, I'm going to get married. I got great news, or, you know, some kind of great news. He says, I don't care, man. Relationships are overrated. And I only care about success. So, like, I guess that's kind of like, but, you know, it's Bill Murray, so he is able to retain the audience because he just has, like, an affable likability, even when he's playing a curmudgeon. Okay, so let's see, where was I? So also, he probably, at some point, he decides, just like in all these movies, not to give out Christmas bonuses. And he gives everyone some discount that he said, hey, just buy everybody like something, like some other cheap gift that's like ridiculous. But so, okay, so he's met with Jacob Marley. I'm trying to think there's other stuff. Bobcat Goldthwait is in it. So I think, so this is where I get mixed up. Like, it's Bobcat Goldthwait. So you have Bobcat Goldthwait, his brother, and his secretary, who's really, Alfie Woodard, I think, plays her, his secretary, or his, like, assistant. But so, let's see. So I think Bobcat Goldthwait quits and then, like, he swears that he's going to, like, maybe shut down the production of Scrooge. But he gets fired and he's, like, really devastated. But he was, like, the voice of reason. I guess, like, whose name am I trying? Oh, Bob Cratchit. So he is a little bit of a Cratchit, too. So you have a try Cratchit in this situation. So you have Bobcat's character, who's like an accountant, maybe, but says, hey, this is like the Christmas, this goes against the Christmas spirit, and also you didn't give us a bonus, and I was counting on the bonus, so that really left me high and dry. Then you have Grace, is that his secretary's assistant's name? Or is that... Karen Allen's name is like, but anyway, so his assistant, she still tries to deal with it. And Frank, is his name Frank? It's all coming together now. Somebody's name's Frank. I think he's Frank. So he's Frank. So his secretary, she kind of like does her best to deal with it and manage him and make the most of a bad situation. And she's kind of giving him extra chances, but she also needs her job. But she cares about him, but she's also like, she kind of stands up to him and gets sick of him. And then we have, I guess Scrooge didn't have a love interest, did he? Then we have his brother, who I guess is kind of like his brother's nephew, who says, geez, we love you. We just want you to, whatever, come back to the good old days or something. And then Karen Allen, who plays Grace. I don't know. I think he's Frank. So we're making some headway here. So those are the people. Then at some point he meets the Casper of Christmas Past, who's played by David Johansen, Buster Poindexter. Is that the same person or is that two different people? Hello, is this thing on? I don't know. But so that's like that, who's a cab driver. I think what happens is he gets something happens. Maybe this is when he cancels the bonuses, or he's like, maybe says, everyone's working on Christmas or whatever. But then he goes to leave work and he gets in a cab, but it's like, maybe he's asleep and he thinks he wakes up for work. Whatever, he gets in a cab and it's David Johansen's driving the cab, New York Dolls. And they start driving around and then they start to drive into the past. And that's pretty standard for a Scrooge remake or a Christmas Carol remake. Like, you go back and you kind of see the hard times when Frank was innocent and he was a good kid. But, you know, then he said, well, just like patriarchy, join it or can't beat it, join it or something. I don't know what the slogan was back then. But probably like a little bit of like blue collar embarrassment. So he kind of has to bootstrap it, you know, typical American tale. It then gets to a turning point where he kind of turns away from his brother and then meets Karen Allen and then turns away. She says, well, geez, we could just, you know, we could be beatniks or whatever. This is the 80s, I guess. So wasn't like it was between eras because they weren't deadheads and they couldn't like be wooks or whatever. So like, she's like, yeah, we could just be, you know, thoughtful, caring people that don't worry about money. And he goes, well, I got this emptiness in me from being a kid, like that I think power and accomplishment's going to fill up. So forget it. And she says, one last chance, probably. And he says, no, not one last chance. And then, then he probably sees some more stuff, see the past, probably sees how close he was with his brother. Maybe does he see other characters? Maybe does he see that Bobcat Goldthwait's character was like once, I think he lives with a bunch of dogs, or he gets in the dog pound. But so he sees all that. He says, oh, can't we stay? You know, he gets to a nice place. He says, can't we stay just a little longer? I think that's like and then they say, no, we got to move on. Then let's see, do they all come in one night? So he must be like, and it's Christmas Eve. It's the time of the show. Okay, so maybe he left in the cab. I think he still gets some time left. So maybe he's like sleeping in his office, but like they got to be getting ready for the show. And meanwhile, stuff starts going wrong with that. Like, I don't know, like Tiny Tim is played by Olympian Mary Lou Retton, I think. And they say, well, she can't go on. And then like whoever. John Houseman, that's gets a cold, and then whoever else, the big star, you know, then the like sets are falling apart, but you know, so then he probably has to take another nap. Now, is it the present or the future that comes next? I mean, I guess it's the present, and that's like a highlight for me because it's Carol Kane, and she's very funny. She plays like this kind of over the top, friend, very present, like I think she's on like a high wire, like floating, and she's trying to like wake Frank up, so there's a lot of that, and she kind of like talks in kind of her Carol Kaney, a little bit of a baby talk, aggressive baby talk voice, and she kind of tries to show Frank the hard and cold of it. So I think you probably see Bobcat Goldthwait with all the dogs. Maybe he lives at a dog pound. Then we see Grace, his assistant, like with her family struggling. Her son plays a big part. So I think her son is maybe she is Bob Cratchit, because her son kind of is dealing with an issue. and it kind of becomes the heart, like Bill Murray's character's heart, I guess. Yeah, so we see her and her son, maybe like they get some, probably to go in for a checkup, and the doctor says, well, this kid needs like that Christmas bonus you were going to get. And she goes, all I got was this Filofax or something. And then she gets called back into work. She probably says, you know, oh, geez, I got to go back into work. And everybody's like, can't believe it. Then we see his brother with his friends and his wife or his girlfriend or his fiance. And they're all having a laugh at his brother, you know, at Frank. They say, I invited my brother for Christmas Eve. And they say, thank goodness he didn't come. That guy's the worst. He goes, oh, you don't really know my brother. And then his brother's wife's like, well, I do. And he is the worst. And then we see probably Karen Allen's character. I think his assistant's Grace. But so then we see Karen Allen at work and the direct service and the impacts of not having a good enough direct service, I think. And it causes a little bit of gratitude, but then maybe he goes a little cold again and says, well, I don't care about any of this stuff. And he's like, my brother made fun of me. These people need to be bootstrappers. This guy lives at a dog pound. Forget it. Okay, then what happens? That's a good question. So I think what happens after that is, the things he even get, like, maybe he gets fired. Like, I think he starts, does he do something and he gets really mad and then he gets fired by Ted Turner? Maybe there's like a consultant there. Is that in another movie? Like a smarmy guy, who says, Frank, you've aged out. You're not hip anymore. I am. So he gets fired. Then I think the Bobcat Goldthwait and all the dogs come or something. And at some point, he realizes, maybe it's too early, but at some point he reconnects with Bobcat Goldthwait's character. Or maybe not yet, because then he goes and he meets our friend from the future, the Casper of Christmas Future. And that one's, it always shows, him at the end alone, nobody cares. He's going to the big farm, but nobody cares. Probably shows, the impact Christmas bonuses could have had for Grace and her family and for, Elliot, Bobcat Goldthwait, they could have paid for the half, then it probably shows Karen's Allen's character getting married to somebody else and, or maybe the shelter she works at getting shut down, and taken over by cable news networks. I don't know. And it's probably some worse stuff, where he says, geez, this is the life I lived, Bill Murray's always got funny lines. I'm trying to think what other characters he's played like this. Groundhog Day. What other movies? I guess that's pretty much, it's a very similar character, if not pretty close. Cynical. Things change faster, but whatever. At this point, after he sees the future, that's maybe when he teams up with Bobcat Goldthwait and they say, get all the dogs. I don't know why I keep picturing him with 30 dogs. And what they do is, they try to make everything right. So they go back on the air. Maybe they think they come up with a big scheme. What happened to everybody else that worked there? I don't know. That's a good question. But so at some point they come up with some sort of big scheme. Maybe they do like John Houseman or Ted Turner, but they do a double distraction so that, Bobcat's running around with all the dogs and they run through the movie, and they like that throws the set off. And what happens in the real one is just he wakes up and he says, "God bless us, everyone." Or he goes and hears Tiny Tim say that, and he says, "You're right, Tiny Tim." So I think at another point he calls Grace, and he says, "Bring your son down. I'm announce on the air that I'm like foregoing all the royalties and I'm giving all the money to the shelter that Karen Allen works at, and you know, to help your son and to house all Elliot's dogs." And I think he says, like, then he goes through his journey, like, so everybody knows how to learn. They see, he says, "You know what? I started this, like, I'm a, you know, I canceled all the Christmas bonuses, and I've like, wasn't nice to Elliot. I fired Elliot, my loyal assistant here, overwork her and underpay her." And you get like cool reactions, like, that's one of the other cool things is like, so you see like, Grace's mother, maybe your son's there, maybe your son's at home, but they say, "Yeah, yeah, Mom, we're so proud of you." And that guy is, and then you see like everybody in the world's tuned into this. So then Frank's brother and his wife are watching it, and they're like, "What is your brother talking? Has he lost his mind?" And at some point, you know, Elliot and the dogs are there. And then Karen Allen shows up on the set and he says, "Get out over here." Like, this is when it gets good. This is when Bill Murray's at his best. And he probably does some jazz dancing with her and says, "Listen, I've been a fool. And I really should only be a fool for you. And, you know, here's a check for the charity you work for. And I hope you can come down there and work with you tonight instead of doing all the rich stuff I was going to do." And he says, "You know, life lived of trying to attain things." He goes, "I think I was just covering up for this, like, a little tiny hole inside. And I was able to see it." And maybe he even tells, like, really, what really happened. Everybody's cracking up, and they think that he's improvising, you know. And maybe even, like, they show Karen Allen and, not Karen Allen, I'm sorry, Carol Kane. Karen Allen is there with him. And Buster Poindexter, like, watching Dave Johansson. And they're watching him and laughing at him and saying, "Oh, dude, oh, dear." And then he lifts up Grace's son on his shoulders, just like he would Tiny Tim. And he, like, does really goofy stuff. Like, he points at the camera, like, for the live stream and says, you know, "A doobity-doo," something like that. He starts singing, "The world will be a better place," I think, maybe. Or something, like, and then everybody's singing, and it's really inspirational. Give it a helping hand. Put a little love in your heart. That's the song, "The world will be a better place." And he's singing it, and then the camera pulls out, I think. I think that's the whole movie. Yeah, so it sounds like pretty light fare, actually, and maybe like overly dependent on 80s or 90s famous people to make some of this stuff work. And I don't know, now, it's funny that now they have that live telecast, like NBC does the live musical twice in a row, I think, not that long after the holiday season. So, I mean, that's still a tradition that's going on. But I don't know. I always remember this movie just because, well, I love Bill Murray. Is that, please tell me Bill Murray's in this. I forgot Bobcat Goldthwait was in it. And again, I like anything that gave me an insight into like imagining how the TV business was, even if it was fake. And I don't know. I think it like was like a fun take. I don't know like when the one, if there was, I guess, because all the other retakes of A Christmas Carol I'd seen have been, were cartoons probably at that point. And so I really enjoyed it. Scrooged with Bill Murray. Check it out this holiday season. Good night. All right. I want to thank some people over here on Twitter. Stealing Sand. Thanks, and good night. Margot V. Thank you, and good night.
Old Gray Rabbit, thanks, and good night. Matt B, thank you, and good night. Emily, thanks, and good night. Julian and Jenna, thanks, and good night. Optiprime, thank you, thanks, and good night. Hell Breakfast, thanks, and good night. Stay Upbeat, thank you, thanks, and good night, sir. 773, thanks, and good night. Gwenny, thank you, and good night. Felix Product, Jason, thanks, thanks, and good night. Shy, thanks, thanks, and good night. Melissa H. to the J and Conan, thank you, and good night, thanks, and good night. Beautle, thank you. Whatchamacallit, thanks, and good night. Everybody at Bald Move, thanks, and good night. Sally W., thanks, and good night. K. Hi, thanks, and good night. Good night. Lizzie, thank you, and good night. Tracy, thanks, and good night. Jessica K. and Chris K., different K's at the end, but, you know, both of them, thank you, and good night. DeBono, Dog Shelter, shout out to Tucker, thanks, and good night. Abby, thanks, and good night. Jelly Sack, thanks, and good night. Space Pod, check out Space Pod, thanks, and good night. Flavio, thanks, and good night. Victoria, Fake Vic, you're real to me, thanks, and good night. Wookie of the Year, thanks, and good night. That's silly. Madison, thanks, and good night. Treg, thank you, and good night. And Julian again, thanks, good night to Abby, Alexandria, Hannah, or Hannah, or both, Farrell, boy, oh boy, thanks, and good night. Barbara K., Twerk, thanks, and good night. Henry, W., thanks, and good night. Eric, thanks, and good night. Texas Beck, thank you, and good night. Allie G., thanks, and good night. It's a different Allie G., but, you know, this, you could count it. Taylor, thanks, and good night. Chris D., thank you, and good night. Sam G., thanks, and good night. Babs, be like Babs, thanks, and good night. Bridget, thanks, and good night. Jesse, thank you, and good night. MC Escher, thanks, and good night. Iron, Half Speed, thank you. Carla, thank you. Liz P., thanks. Adam, thanks, and good night. Carla M., thanks, and good night. Ayun, thank you, and good night. Mary Beth, thanks, and good night. Christine, thanks, and good night. Peaches, thanks, and good night. Angie, thank you, and good night. Kathleen, thanks, and good night. Everybody checked out the doc at the New York City Documentary Festival. Thanks, and good night. Summer, thanks, and good night. Lizzie, thanks, and good night. Sal, old Sally Ann, thanks, and good night. Chrysanthi, thanks, and good night. Nick, thanks, and good night. Roman, thanks, and good night. Lindahl, thank you, and good night. Eli, the Keeper of the Crypt, thanks, and good night. Kyla, thanks, and good night. Cinnamon, thanks, and good night. Elliot, thanks, and good night. Thanks so much, everybody, and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts,
And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in the, my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10... then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback, feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.